Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. We are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here once again. We are so grateful for the opportunity to come before thee and to worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here this day. I pray that we would all feel thy presence. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us this day to be obedient to thy call and obedient to thy will. And I pray that each and everything we do here this night will be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter his gates. Number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 90 and sing "The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower." Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark.
work I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 40 and sing Great is the Lord, number 40. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, our God is great. There is none greater, and we serve a God without limitations. Praise the Lord. We serve a God who can do anything. So we're going to turn to number 89 right now and sing God Can Do Anything, number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, God can do anything, anything, anything God can do, anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything God can do, anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything God can do, anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God. Well, praise God. We're going to turn now to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name.
have the victory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 28 and sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me, number 28.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for that freedom and that joy that we only find in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. And we put our complete hope and our trust in thee, knowing, O God, that thou wilt continue to be with us. For we believe thy promises. We embrace thy promises and we embrace thy word. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to strengthen this ministry, continue to guide this ministry in all things. For we need thy help so very much. Give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory. For we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead this ministry by thy mighty hand, that we may always do thy will. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more song in just a moment, and I have to say I'm really thankful that God does give us strength. And it's been a busy week. It's been a very, very busy week, and it's been almost nonstop, actually. I finally finished writing the newsletter yesterday, and it took a lot longer than I anticipated. I was actually hoping to finish it Sunday night, but I ended up finishing it around 12:30 in the afternoon yesterday, and Mom did the proofreading quite quickly, and I did the corrections today, and Jane's printing it. It's just all been kind of a blur, and we're going to be mailing that out very soon. But it's been very busy for me, and I haven't had a lot of time to even stop and think, really. And it's just going to be continue to be a busy week as we get ready for our service. On Saturday, we will be here for Passover, and I hope that everyone can join us for that. Those who are listening online, too, if you can be here, it would be great to have as many people here as possible. And, of course, we will have our service on Sunday as well. And the luncheon will follow. It just happens to be the first Sunday of the month, and it has nothing to do with Easter. We don't celebrate that, but we will have a wonderful time and a wonderful time of fellowship, so we're looking forward to all of that. But praise God, I am thankful for His strength. And, you know, when I was writing that newsletter, I wasn't sure if I could do it because it just seemed like it was taking so much time and effort, and it was a hard one to write, but the Lord pulled me through as He always does, and I am thankful. Praise God. We're going to open our hymnals now, and we're going to sing one last song before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. We're going to go to number 54 and sing, "Oh, Say But I'm Glad," number 54.
There's a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away, oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love He brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. We have a fellowship rich and sweet, tongues can never relate. Abiding in Him is a real treat. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Oh, I say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to Him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as His love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Oh, I say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, I say, but I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, thank the Lord. All right, well, we are going to turn this over to Shirley now, and I know she's been busy too. She had to proofread the newsletter and then get ready for tonight, so I'm sure the Lord did help her, though, but I know that's a lot too. But praise God, we're going to see what the Lord has put on her heart tonight. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. And you know, sometimes you do wonder how you're going to do it all. But, you know, I just thank God. He just, I woke up with a scripture today that I needed for tonight. And, you know, just thought about it, meditated, wrote some things down. And, you know, after a while I thought, well, I guess I can start the newsletter now. God is good, you know, He is good. He does give us strength, and wow, He has given us something to be glad about. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We just don't fully get it right now. I think, you know, we just don't believe quite yet exactly. Well, we do, but, you know, it's like there's still these blind spots, and oh boy, to just fully understand how the Lord has delivered us and how He set us free and how we could be here tonight. You know, there's not too many people here tonight. You know, this place could be full if people could only know, you know, the joy of the Lord, the strength that He gives us, the value of His word, and the great need to get right with God. Oh, if people could only understand, you know, oh, how late it is in time, and oh my, these things that are coming upon the earth, these things that, oh, are already in this country, and the division and the discord, and God only knows what, and you can see, oh, the things that are rising up to oppose the way of God, you know, but our God knows how to keep us. He knows how to help us. He's been with us all the days of our life, and I believe He's going to be with us until the end. No matter how nutty it gets, you know, I know I pray when I get in the car now. Believe me, I pray when I'm in the car, you know, but I tell you what, yeah, Samuel is writing about these driverless cars, and I mean, it doesn't sound like they just got a couple that they're planning to put out there. Well, you know, they're planning to put big old trucks out there, you know, Uber and his, you know, services besides and everything else, and there was an accident, a fatal accident where a pedestrian was killed because of a driverless car, and you know, that delayed things just a little bit, but you know, they are gearing to go. And I'll tell you what, like I said, I pray now, but oh my, I just, you know, thinking about, you know, something going down the road without a driver in it is, boy, oh boy, it doesn't seem very wonderful to me. Oh my, oh my, but so it is. You know, I think there's a lot of insanity in this world. You know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And this world, who has so largely rejected Jesus Christ, has become very foolish in their imaginations and in their thinkings. And, you know, yes, they're thinking, you know, if they don't repopulate someplace on Mars or on outer space, that this earth is doomed. And of course, you know, it is doomed, to tell you the truth. But, you know, they have no hope. You know, other than their own minds or ingenuity that they think they have. And, you know, how foolish. Oh, I'm so thankful we have the Word of God. And, oh, we know, yes, it has declared that this, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, you know. And we know that all the things on this earth, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and all the works that are therein are going to be burnt up. And so it is. But, you know, fine with us because we know that God has another plan. He's going to bring about a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. It's in God's hands. And we can rest in that. Praise the Lord. We see all the pollution in this world and, you know, the oceans that have so much garbage in them that it's mothering life and everything else, the chemtrails that are so thick and horrendous. And, you know, sometimes you can't believe what they have been doing in the sky. We don't even want to know the full extent of it, I'm sure. Oh my, no, there's so much chicanery going on in this world, but God sees it all, and one day it's going to be judged. One day it is going to be over. Oh, praise the Lord, but how wonderful it's going to be to have our life in God's hands. And the record's cleared because He washed our sins away and has been given over to the Lord Jesus, and we can stand before Him with boldness. Oh, yes, with pure hearts, clean hands. Oh, yes, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's pray as we start here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your kindnesses to us. Oh, God, the fact that You watch over us, that You've kept us, and here we are, Lord. Oh, God, we're here to sing Your praises. Oh, God, to exalt Your wonderful name, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us here, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that Your word would speak to our hearts, oh, Lord. I pray that the strong man would be bound, oh, God, that there would be no interference, oh, Lord, and that Your spirit would move in our hearts. Oh God, and oh God, what You set forth to do, oh Lord, in Your word, God, I pray that You bring it forth. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, oh God, we give this all to You, Lord. Oh God, we ask that You speak to our hearts. Oh God, that You would talk to our souls, that You'd anoint Your word. Oh God, we give it to You, Jesus. Oh, we give it to You, Lord. Oh, ask, oh Lord, that You'd help us to praise You while we still have breath. Oh God, help us to worship You while we still have time. Oh Lord, help us to give it all over to You now, Lord, at this appointed time, oh God, while we still have breath and while there is still opportunity. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Have Your way. Oh, Lord Jesus, use this message. Oh, God, I know I could do nothing without You. I give it to You, Lord. I ask, oh, Lord, that You'd use this word. Oh, Lord, to help us all, each and every one. Oh, God, to go forth, oh, Lord. Oh, God, to do what You have, oh, God, ordained it to do. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise Your name, Jesus. Oh, praise the name, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think of that precious little verse, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, those that go down to the dust, you know, it's their time on earth to praise the Lord is over. But, oh my, we've still got that ability. And, oh my, we want to give God the praise while we can. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Isaiah 40 and beginning this message here tonight. We're going to call it Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I know it's not always easy to wait. You know, I just sometimes, you know, we might be waiting for a very much anticipated moment and it might seem like it's never going to come. Now, I was thinking how it was in the earlier days when my mom and dad would be coming. They maybe called in the morning or the night before and asked, you know, if it'd be okay if they came and drive, you know, that 3.5-hour drive to come see us. And, you know, we'd have to scoot around and do a whole bunch of things. And, of course, some things would get canceled. I don't suppose the children minded too much. But anyway, there was a great anticipation. And I can remember, you know, and it got to be about the time when my mom and dad would, you know, be known to arrive. A lot of times my children would sit out there on the front porch just waiting for that moment when they would drive into the parking lot there. Praise the Lord, into the driveway. And praise the Lord, so it is. There are many things that we wait for with great anticipation. And, you know, I think one of the greatest things that should be in our heart is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For one of these days, He is going to come. It is going to be over. And you know, these trials here on earth will be past. And only what we did for the Lord is going to matter at that moment. Oh, how we gave our hearts to the Lord and what we did for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to matter at that moment. Oh, yes, when He splits the skies. Oh, yes. And every eye is going to see Him. Oh, yes, there's going to be no mistake at that moment. Everybody is going to know that the Lord has returned to this earth. Oh, yes. But here He is coming to judge, and how we want to be in His hands. Oh, how we want to have clean hands and a pure heart and be able to stand before Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Going here to Isaiah 40. And we're going to go to the end of this chapter here. I love this whole chapter, but I guess to get to the point, we'll go to verse 27 here to begin here tonight. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Well, there's a little bit of pride there, you know, and I have a feeling that it wasn't only just old Israel that sometimes had this notion that they could hide their ways from the Lord and that their judgment was passed over. In other words, I think this means excused. I don't quite think that's the way it is or was at that point. And here in verse 28 it says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Oh my, what a wonderful thing. He's the everlasting God. He's the Lord. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Oh, and nothing is hid from Him. Nothing is a mystery. He's never weary. He's never, you know, under the weather, so to speak. And He's never missing anything at all. It's always in front of His face. He always knows it. And praise the Lord, it's wonderful when we are in His care and serving Him with all our heart. But it says in verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. And I know Brother Samuel was talking about, you know, being weary and, you know, wondering, oh my, you know, how it was all going to get done. And I have moments like that. I think you might too, you know, where, you know, it's like, oh my, I'm tired, I'm weary, you know, and I don't see how I can do this. But the Lord knows how to give us strength that we don't have in ourselves. He knows how to give us ability that we don't have in ourselves. He knows how to give us power when we feel faint. I love that. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And it explains in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, praise the Lord. Are there blessings in waiting upon the Lord? Oh, my. I don't think we can realize the full of it. Oh, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, that strength we need in Jesus. Oh my, it isn't because of our own. We could never walk this race without the Lord. Oh my, we couldn't even go 1 mile. We couldn't even go 1 inch without the Lord. But praise the Lord, when we wait upon Him, He revives our spirits. He gives us something deeper than that we have of our own self. Oh my, He gives us abilities that we don't have, and the ability to mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, yes, to have a strength beyond our own, a supernatural strength that comes in the Lord Jesus. You know, I just thinking for the moment, you know, how Elijah, the Spirit of God, came upon him, and he was able to outrun the chariot of Ahab. You know, now come on, who has done that before? But God put that strength in him, and he was able to run faster than the chariot. And I'm sure Ahab was going fast. But praise the Lord, there is something that God gives us that no man can match. There's no power on earth like it at all. Oh, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Oh, yes, the one that fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. That's our God. We could just grasp it. That's our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, and we can wait upon him and know that he will renew our strength. Praise the Lord, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Oh, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. You know, thinking of the children of Israel too, you know, they went through that wilderness. And the feet didn't swell, you know. And they, you know, I don't hear that they pulled out any wheelchairs and had to, you know, some of them had to climb onto the wheelchair. But God gave them supernatural strength to make that journey, I truly believe. Oh, praise the Lord, how he takes care of his people. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to the Psalms here for a moment and catch a few scriptures here. Psalms 27 here. Praise the Lord. Psalms 27, looking at verse 11. Psalms 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And then it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're just talking about that scripture there from Isaiah 40. Oh, yes, even the youth shall faint, you know. But, you know, a lot of times we could have easily have fainted. But praise the Lord, there's an undergirding faith that rises up to hold us up. Oh, that strength that comes from the Lord, you know, and that faith that he puts there so that we can believe him in times when things may look totally horrible. And yes, the writer, the psalmist, David, I believe here, says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, yes, faith took a hold of his heart. And then that last verse, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessing in waiting on the Lord. Turn a few pages with me, please, to the 40th chapter of Psalms. And just a few verses here. Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know David went through so many predicaments. But here he's talking about, oh, waiting patiently for the Lord. You know, and sometimes God doesn't answer with, you know, the snap of a finger. It might not be like that. There are times that he does, but there are times that he's waiting on us, I believe, to see if we're going to be patient, you know, if we're going to endure, if we're going to keep believing him, even if it looks completely negative. And I think perhaps David was speaking of such a moment. I waited patiently for the Lord. Praise the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And it talks about how he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Oh, we sang that song. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. Oh, he put a song in my heart, a song of his praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord has done for us. He brought us out. If we've come to the Lord, if we've been rescued by the Lord, he has delivered us from that horrible pit, that pit that would have taken us to the horrors of hell. Oh yes, we were so doomed. Oh yes, we were all going that way. But the Lord, in his great mercy, brought us up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. Oh my, being stuck in that rut. Oh my, without any hope and not knowing how we were going to get out of it. But praise the Lord, there was a day when he called us, and there was a day when we answered that call, and praise the Lord for that. Oh, what a difference it made. We were just all going in our own way, you know, just doing our own thing. All at once, you know, God made a way. And I do marvel, you know, how God did it. It was strictly him, you know. I just remember how that was a little bit, how, you know, I was doing my own things and had my own desires, and I didn't really know how the Lord was, if he was, you know, he's going to save me or what, you know. I knew my mother and dad were praying for me, but, you know, I just didn't have it in my heart to, you know what to think or how to believe. But oh my, that night when he called me, I'll tell you what, it had to be the Lord, you know, all at once. Everything began to change, and I just couldn't wait to get up to that place. Oh yes, up there to the front, where the place we call the altar, and cry out my heart to the Lord. Oh my, how he began to change everything. It just had to be the Lord, you know, calling. And praise the Lord that we could respond to that glorious gospel. And how wonderful it was. The psalmist said, he set my feet upon a rock. And we know that rock is Christ Jesus, the truth of his word. Oh yes, the foundation. Oh yes, from which the gospel is laid. And he established my goings. Things are not the same when lives are given over to the Lord. He begins to change us, and our goings are established by him. Our desires begin to change, and, you know, the things of the world all begin to just go dim, so that, you know, we don't even want to go back there. We don't want to live in that realm. But that's because the Lord has delivered us and set us free. And then he puts that new song in our mouth. Oh, praise the Lord. Even praise unto our God. And it says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That song of praise. Oh, that we can't hold back because God put it in us. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can worship the Lord. Oh, yes, so we can give him back all the glory that's due unto his name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more place here in the Old Testament, perhaps. Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Isaiah chapter 30. Let's look at verse 15 here for a moment. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And he would not. You know, the Lord has this plan. Oh yes, in turning our hearts over to God, returning to God in repentance, and through the rest that he gives us for our souls, the rest of the Holy Ghost, that we would be saved. And then he says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You know what that is? That's giving everything over to the Lord and letting him rule and reign in our life. Let him work through us. Just, you know, not trying to do it of ourselves and make things happen and all of that, but giving it over to the Lord in quietness and in confidence, knowing that He's our strength, He is our song, He is our ability, He is our might, and everything else that we need comes from Jesus Christ. That's our strength. But, you know, here Isaiah is writing as the Lord inspired him, "You will not," talking to a people who are reluctant to hear and understand and obey. Instead they said, as it tells us in verse 16, "But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue be swift." Oh yeah, their own plan, their own arrangement. No, we're not going to do it God's way. No, we're just going to get upon our horses and you know, do it our way. But it wasn't going to work. "Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." Oh, they were going to be overcome, trying to do it their own way. Rebelling against God is what they were doing. But praise the Lord, he says in verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. Oh my, the plan that God has for his people, that we would be a beacon upon the top of a mountain. Oh, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. That is how the Lord would have us, to be a light in this world, as an ensign, as a banner, as a flag on a hill, something that can be seen from far. And then it says in verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Oh God, in his glorious plan, oh yes, there was going to be a provision that God had ordained from the foundation of the world, a plan that he would be exalted, a plan where he would have mercy upon his people, where he would come unto us and deliver us from out of that miry clay, that horrible pit, the sin that we were in, that, oh, all the disgusting things of debauchery that we were engaged in. God was going to have that plan. He was going to be gracious unto his people. He was going to be exalted, that he would have mercy upon his children. For he is a God of judgment. And praise the Lord that we can come to him now. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Praise the Lord. And we do know that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And praise the Lord, God's provision that we could be joint heirs with Christ. We could be his children. Praise the Lord, his plan to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," the Spirit of adoption. And this was all ordained in the plan of God, that, you know, those that would wait upon him, those would come to him, he would have a plan that we could be his sons and his daughters, that we could be adopted into the family of God. And it tells us here in Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of Christ," an heir of God through Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, God's wonderful plan. And you know, by the time Jesus came to this earth, it was a long wait, you know. It had been promised, even from the very beginning, even in the Garden of Eden, there had been that promise that God was going to send forth the deliverer. And Satan was going to be dealt a fatal blow. But, you know, it was through the ages It was through time. And there was a lot of waiting, a lot of expectation. You know, the Word of God had declared in so many prophetic utterances that Jesus Christ was going to come forth, that there would be a Messiah, that there would be a Christ. And, you know, a lot was not known, but, you know, they had those utterances that the prophets brought forth. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, how many were really waiting for him? We just read, blessed are those that wait for him there in Isaiah chapter 30. But, you know, in reality, I think there weren't too many that were really watching, really waiting, or, you know, they had their own notions. They had developed these theories about the Christ that would come, and, you know, they were looking for some kind of deliverer from their Roman bondage, or somebody that would establish a kingdom like unto Solomon's, something on earth. So they had their own desires and their own things that they had developed, their own, you know, concepts that had come to them through the ages. And when Jesus Christ came, for the most part, the people didn't get it. Jesus coming even unto his own, but for the most part, his own didn't receive him, his own didn't acknowledge him. But you know, there were a few that did. If we go now to Luke, the second chapter, I want to just go through a little here, and we'll see there were a couple of dear individuals that were waiting for the Messiah, that were waiting for the Lord's Christ. So here in Luke 2, I suppose we could look at verse 21 here to begin. It tells us here, verse 21, Luke, the second chapter, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And of course, Jesus was born under the law. So here Mary and Joseph were following the ways of the law. And at 8 days, he was circumcised, and his name was proclaimed to be Jesus, as the angel had pronounced at the time of the conception. And so then, as the days of her purification, Mary's purification, were over, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem, and the thought was to present him to the Lord as was necessary under the law. It tells us in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So here they came to fulfill this, Mary and Joseph, with the young child Jesus. Well, he's a baby, a very young baby at this point. And then it tells us in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And, you know, this is how the Lord spoke to the prophets. His Spirit would come upon them, and they would prophesy. And obviously, Simeon, who was this just man and very devout, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, had made it known to him, had revealed to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was anticipating it, and he was one of the few that was looking for the Lord's Christ. But here he is, and I would say probably quite well up in years. And it so happened, as Mary and Joseph came into the temple with the young baby, Jesus, that here came Simeon. It tells us in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Oh, yes, he was speaking this by revelation. Oh, God had revealed it to his heart that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he knew it. The Lord brought him in at that moment. He was led by the Spirit of God into the temple at that exact moment when they were presenting Jesus before the Lord. What a thing. He was a man that was waiting for the Lord's Christ. Oh, and it had been revealed to him that he would not see death. Praise the Lord. So that was fulfilled. And he knew when he saw this baby that it was indeed the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost had revealed it to him. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary's mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So God was giving him this understanding, and he was able to declare it by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God that came upon him. And then there was another woman that also was waiting for the Lord to come to this world as the Messiah, and her name was Anna. And here it tells us in verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. But isn't it a marvel how God brought these two that had it in their hearts? Oh, yes, that the Lord would come to this earth. Oh, yes, as a Messiah, as a deliverer, as the Savior of all men. And here it was, this older woman, about 84 years of age, coming in at that exact moment, in that instant, and likewise giving thanks unto the Lord and speaking of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord brought her in to prophesy, to speak of the things that God put in her heart. But they were waiting, weren't they? They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for Jesus. And as I said, I don't think there were too many that were literally looking for him. Or, you know, or if they had, you know, some kind of looking, they were looking in the wrong way, with the wrong kind of notions and expectations. But as Jesus ministered on earth here, he came that there would be a people that would be redeemed and set free. He came that he could bring forth the plan of salvation. and that the Spirit of the living God could come and dwell in the hearts of mortal men and women. Praise the Lord. And you know that Jesus ministered here on this earth for those 3.5 years. Not a very long time, but oh, how the Lord used him and how we fulfilled the plan of God. And you know, before he ascended into heaven, he had some very important words that he did utter before he left this world. And if you'll turn with me now to Acts, the first chapter, we'll read some of this together here tonight. Acts chapter 1, praise the Lord. And here, you know that Luke was the author of these writings here, the Acts of the Apostles. He starts by saying in verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And now he's going to reference the things that Jesus declared right before he ascended into heaven. He tells us in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Oh yes, John had declared, yes, that he truly did baptize with water unto repentance. But he proclaimed that there was one that was coming after him whose shoe latches he was not worthy to unloose. And he said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Oh yes, it had been declared that yes, there was one that was going to go beyond the works of John the Baptist. John the Baptist would baptize with water unto repentance, but Jesus Christ would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. And oh, Jesus had declared it too. I'm coming back here to Acts 1, but in the 15th chapter of the book of John, Jesus had declared in verse 26 here at the very end of this chapter, John chapter 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So here he had told them, and there's other portions here in the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John where he's foretelling of the Comforter. Here in chapter 16, verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Oh, praise the Lord. But those foretellings that Jesus gave when he spoke of the Comforter, oh, yes, he had said also in the 14th chapter of John, that he would not leave them comfortless, but he would pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And praise the Lord, there was the promise that he was establishing. Yes, though his ministry was short, and though he was not going to remain on this earth, he was not going to leave them without comfort. He was not going to leave them without a means. He was not going to leave them without strength. Oh, there was something that they needed to wait for. And he was telling them here, oh yes, before he ascended, that they were to wait. Oh yes, for the promise of the Father that he would send in his name, that they had heard of him, they should wait for it, and that they should not leave Jerusalem, but rather wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus had spoken of. Oh yes, he told Peter in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. Oh, Peter didn't know how vulnerable he was. You know, he loved the Lord and he wanted to serve the Lord. And you know, he thought that, you know, he would even die for the Lord. But he didn't know his own weaknesses. And in Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said to Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Oh, he didn't know how weak he was as an individual, how his strength could fail and did fail. But Jesus said to him in verse 32 in Luke 22, and I love this, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And Jesus said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Oh, Peter thought he had strength. He said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." But Jesus said unto him, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And it happened, didn't it, there in Pilate's judgment hall. Oh, yes, Peter didn't have that kind of strength. But Jesus had said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Oh, praise the Lord. There was something that they needed. Oh, yes, even though they had walked with Jesus and been participants in his ministry. Oh, yes, even seeing devils cast out and even praying with individuals themselves and seeing those mighty works happen through the laying on of hands. Prayer in Jesus' name. Still, there was something that they yet needed. There was something that they still lacked. Something that had not yet been poured out yet upon them, because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because Jesus had not been glorified earlier, as it tells us in the 7th chapter of the book of John. But here before Jesus ascended, Jesus said, "John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Oh, they would need it. "When thou art converted, Peter, strengthen thy brethren." He was not yet converted. He did not yet have the strength of the Holy Ghost indwelling inside his very being. He was not filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Oh, yes, and they go on. They didn't know. They didn't understand. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Oh, this was, you know, very well thought out, conceptions they had. You know, that the kingdom was going to be restored to them in a carnal sense, in a physical sense. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." But Jesus had told Pilate, oh, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. But now is not my kingdom not of this world." He came to bring forth a spiritual kingdom. Oh, yes, a kingdom where individuals would be filled with the power of God, with the Holy Ghost baptism that would come to dwell in their very beings. And as it tells us in verse 8 here in Acts, the first chapter, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Oh, praise the Lord. There was something greater that Jesus came to establish. He came to bring forth a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be removed. Praise the Lord, a kingdom that is forever. And praise the Lord, that is why he came. Oh, yes, that he would put his spirit within his people. Oh, that he would dwell. Oh, that creator of the universe. That Holy One of God, oh yes, would come to dwell as the Comforter into our very beings. And praise the Lord, oh yes, they were told to wait. And you know, the day of Pentecost came, and you know, I believe Jesus, after his resurrection, it tells us that he was with them for 40 days. The word Pentecost means 50. And so I kind of think there were maybe 10 days between the ascension and the day of Pentecost. So there they were. It tells us that they had gone into an upper room to wait for the Holy Ghost. Yes, in verse 13 here in Acts 1, and when they were come in into Jerusalem, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Oh, praise the Lord. Even Mary needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Even his brothers, his natural brothers, who had watched him grow up, needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure those 12, yes, because Judas Iscariot was replaced, needed also to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And all those that came into Jerusalem, tells us there were about 120 that gathered there in that upper room to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus had said would come forth. Praise the Lord. And we know that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes. Oh, my. After waiting on the Lord, after tarrying, you know, all at once, that day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And praise the Lord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father came upon them so that they could be endued with that promise from on high. Oh, praise the Lord, it was missing. Oh, they'd walked with Jesus, they'd ministered with Jesus, they'd saw all those wonderful works, they believed that he was a Christ. They had all that in their hearts, but yet they needed that power to witness, that power to overcome, that spirit of the Holy Ghost, that resurrecting power that comes upon his people to make us alive in Christ Jesus, to come upon their very beings. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. They didn't know what to think. The crowd gathered around. Oh, there were a lot of people in Jerusalem, people from all tribes and nations. Oh, that day he came there to observe that feast day of Pentecost. Oh, but praise the Lord, Peter stood up and he said unto them, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord, it was foretold, wasn't it? Oh, Joel had foretold it all those many years ago, that God was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, yes, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. and my servants, are my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it came to pass there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, the timing was right. It was, oh, the fulfillment of the scripture that God had declared. Oh, yes, those many, many years before. Praise the Lord, it fell upon them. Oh, we see the changes. We see a Peter that was so changed by the power of the Holy Ghost to stand up there. Oh, yes. Not denying Jesus at that moment at all, but boldly declaring that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord. Oh, yes, the one that they crucified. He has been made Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Oh, yes. He declared it all before those that had even participated in the crucifixion. But there he was with strength, with power from on high, the gift of the Holy Ghost now manifested in his life. Oh, and he was filled with it. And it tells us here, as Peter is preaching, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Oh, yes, it had been prophesied there. Psalms 89 chapter. He see this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. There from Psalms 16 chapter, verse 10. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Oh, there was evidence. Oh, yes, it was noisy. Oh, they all heard them speaking in their own languages, those that had gathered the wonderful works of God. They could see it. They could hear it. Oh, there was evidence that, oh, yes, a wonderful manifestation had been poured out. The gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out. The promise of the Father. Oh, the thing that they had waited for. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that gift of the Father, the promise of the Father. Oh, it was not just for them at that moment, those that were gathered there. It was not just for the early church. It says, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. It wasn't just for the Jewish people at that moment, but it was to all that were far off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, I thank God. Oh, there are some that say that it was just for this very early period of time, and now we don't need it anymore. But I'll tell you what, if we ever needed the strength, the power of the Holy Ghost, we need it now in these last days. Oh, yes, when the enemy has come in like a flood. Oh, yes, when the earth is saturated with wickedness. Oh, yes. And there's all kinds of rotten things going on. But I'll tell you what, the Lord puts his spirit in his people, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, and he made a way that, oh, we could walk with him, that we could be strengthened. Oh, God knows, oh, how weak we are of ourselves. But that strengthening that comes from those that wait upon the Lord, oh, to renew their strength. Oh, those that wait upon the Lord to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, he knows how we need it in these very last perilous times, these moments before the Lord comes. Oh my, we are told that unless these days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Oh, it's so bad, the spirit of deception in these last days, that, oh, if God doesn't have mercy, if God doesn't strengthen us, there is no way that we could make it. But God did not abandon his people. Oh my, he's not going to leave us at the hour that we need him the very most. But that gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, it was to them on the day of Pentecost. It was for the Samaritans in the 8th chapter of Acts. It was for the Gentiles in the 10th chapter of Acts. It was for those that had believed in Jesus by means of John the Baptist in the 19th chapter of Acts. And God has not changed. Because if they needed the Holy Ghost then, it was for all them, but it's for all that the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord if he called us unto his glorious salvation. If we put it within our hearts to serve him, to cry out to him, oh yes, then that Holy Ghost is for you. God is no respecter of persons. And how we see that in the 10th chapter of Acts, as Peter was called to the household of Cornelius, oh yes, that devout man who feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people. And pray to God always. Oh, God sees faithfulness. God saw this faithful Cornelius, this Gentile man. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. And here he was. God gave him that vision. Oh, that he could see a man coming to him. He could see as the angel of God came to him that he was to go and find a certain man who was named Peter. Simon, whose surname was Peter, go call for him. And you know, the angel told him just where to go, how to find him there, the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside in Joppa. Praise the Lord, he found him. He sent his servants to go get him. And of course, God had to kind of prepare Peter. Gave him that vision of all those unclean things. God had to get Peter ready too. But you know, God works on all ends. He knows every little detail, and you know, he knows everything that is needed to put his will into place. And so he worked it all out there. And Peter went with those three that came for him there to the house of Cornelius. And you know, it was such an amazing thing there because Cornelius was waiting for them, it tells us here in the 10th chapter of Acts. And not only was he waiting for them, but his anticipation was so great that he had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. It seems like everybody that he knew, everyone who was close and dear to him, was all gathered together there with Cornelius. And it tells us when Peter came in that at first Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him. Peter realized, oh, no. Stand up. I myself am a man. And he talked with him. And he went in. He found many that were come together there. And, you know, Peter had explained, you know, I don't usually do this. You know, I'm a Jew. And, you know, I don't usually, you know, mingle like this, keep company with people of another nation. But, you know, he explained it. God had prepared him and God had given him that vision, and likewise God had done a wonderful thing for Cornelius. Oh, Cornelius explained in verse 30 here in this 10th chapter of Acts. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Oh, he was waiting upon the Lord. He had no idea what God was going to do, what God was going to show him, and what was all going to come to pass. But he knew there was something in his heart. He feared God. He had a love for the Lord, and he was doing the best that he knew to do. And God saw this man with this kind of heart, this kind of desire, and here he was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Oh, God had saw this man who was waiting upon him. Oh, and it was not in vain, the works that he had done, the faith that he had in his heart, it was not in vain. God had prepared him, and now God was going to do a work. He told him, send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Peter opened up his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And then he said the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And you know, God honored his word. You know, Peter couldn't even anticipate what was going to happen, because it tells us in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know it? It says, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise the Lord. Oh, they knew it. There was evidence that came forth as they spoke with tongues and magnified God, as the Spirit of the living God came upon them as they were waiting upon God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he said he was going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh, and here it is. And Peter said in verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord, what an event of the Lord bringing forth his Spirit even to the Gentile people. Oh, this just devout man, this man who feared God and gave alms and did what he knew in his heart to do. God saw all that, and God chose him. Oh yes, you know, he didn't hesitate. You know, the angel told him what to do. He didn't hesitate. He knew something was going to happen. Oh yes, he got everybody that he knew, all his loved ones, all his relatives, you know, all those that were dear to him, there to gather at his house. And what an event that must have been. I would have liked to have been there, I'll say, when that Holy Ghost was poured out and all at once that sermon was interrupted. Oh, come on, do it! Yes, I want to hear these sermons interrupted as the Spirit of God is poured out. Oh, yes, and get to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the evidence. Oh, the utterance. Oh, yes, as it comes forth. Oh, what a wonderful gift the Lord has given us. But you see, they waited. They waited for the gift of the Holy Ghost to be poured out. It seems to me that we need more old-fashioned waiting times for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, to come forth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, for the wonderful infilling that God desires for His people. And then, you know, I know God is the same. Oh, yes, the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee. Oh, yes, is also with His people. Because, praise the Lord, there on the cross, yes, He died. He gave up that ghost. But I'll tell you what, there was a purpose, there was a plan with that. He was going to send forth that ghost. He was going to send back His Spirit. Oh, yes, that He might come to us as the Comforter, that He might be within our very being, and He might lead us and guide us into all truth, that we might know the Word of God, that it might dwell in us, that it might show us things to come. Oh, yes, that we might speak forth the wonderful words of God, that we might be a light, that we might be a witness. Oh, yes, that He didn't quite have it. Oh, yes, before Pentecost. Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus told Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, praise the Lord. There he was on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Ghost, a new man. Oh, yes, filled with boldness, filled with strength. Oh, yes, able to strengthen his brethren. Oh, praise the Lord. That Holy Ghost baptism is for us today. Oh, yes, it's for whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the waters of life, all those living waters. Let him come. Jesus bid us to come. Whosoever will, he that heareth, let him come. Who that is athirst, let him come and drink of the waters of life, the waters of salvation. Oh, yes, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost for those that will wait upon the Lord. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, we need to wait upon the Lord. Oh, yes, because as Joel had declared, oh, God had promised to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord, that includes us all here tonight, those that are under, oh yes, the sound of this message. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost baptism, oh yes, that was prophesied, was brought forth that we might receive of the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It's for all of us. Amen. Oh, yes, not just us, but our children. And oh, yes, all that the Lord our God shall call. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd cause us to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord, that you would pour it out, oh, Lord, upon your children, Lord. Oh, God, those that wait for you. Oh, God, those that believe on you, Lord. Oh, God, those that trust in you. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. That Holy Ghost that Jesus is giving away. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Praise thy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to, and I'm sure this is going to be a surprise to no one, we are going to turn to number 48 in the chorus book and sing They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.